Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 23. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand, but you can also look at the screen and just follow along with us. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 23. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you that we can worship together and we can pray for one another, pray for Hong Kong, and also give our offerings to you. And now we come before your word, and I pray that you will speak to us today, especially on the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I pray that you would release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in this place, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you are saying to us. And I want to humble myself before you. I pray that you will use me to preach your prophetic word to your church. Let your presence come. Let your anointing come. Let the word of God speak to us and transform us today. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Today we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits, which is gentleness. So I want you, actually, first thing, I want you to discuss with just whoever is sitting next to you. If you don't want to, you can reflect on your own. But if you can, you could discuss with the person next to you. It's on the screen. Do you consider gentleness to be a positive thing or a negative thing? What I mean is to be gentle, to be weak? Please discuss and share or reflect. Okay. I don't need to see a show of hand, so I'm not going to ask. But I wonder what you guys said. Because in my research, as I was preparing, a lot of times pastors, when they preached on gentleness or articles written about it, would often begin this way. They would say, gentleness has a negative rep. You know, a lot of people think that gentleness is kind of not a good thing. A lot of people equate it to being weak, being the opposite of a gentle person is a strong person, you know, like kind of this idea. So I was just wondering, because that's not how I tend to think, but as I was reading it and reflecting on it, and I began to realize, yeah, maybe it's true. Gentleness often gets equated with weakness. The Greek word is praus, and also translated in the Bible as humble or meek. Especially when we think about the word meek, we kind of think it's the same word as weak. Meek and weak, you know, but it's not the same thing. Gentleness and meekness is not the same thing. But a popular conception of gentleness and meekness is a person who is shy and timid and fearful. Now, this is what I think. I believe a timid demeanor born out of fear, insecurity, not knowing our identity in God, not knowing our strength in God, that is negative. God has created us fearfully and wonderfully, and we have this amazing identity in Him. And so we need to know that. But what I want to clarify is that kind of timid demeanor that's born out of fear and insecurity and the inability to understand our identity in God, that is not gentleness, right? So yeah, if that were gentleness and meekness, I agree. Gentleness and meekness maybe is a negative thing, but that's not what gentleness is. True gentleness is an active quality, which is how you treat people. Meekness is a passive quality, it's how you respond when people mistreat you, right? Gentleness is how you treat people. Meekness is how you respond when you are mistreated. Both of these, I believe, come from a place of strength. I like this definition of gentleness. Gentleness is disciplined strength, right? A lot of people say it's strength under control. Gentleness is disciplined strength or strength under control. Are you a gentle person? I believe you can only be gentle when you know your strength. When you know your strength, you can be gentle. I want to give you an example. It's another sports illustration, but I think you will, it's not too sporty. I think you'll relate. Do you guys, how many of you know Pastor Ricky? Most of you know. He recently, maybe a few months ago, he went off to Shanghai to plant our church plant there. And Pastor Ricky is a basketball player. If you don't know him, he's a real athlete. And in high school, he played basketball. And he, when he was younger, especially when he was younger and he would play basketball, he was a very aggressive kind of a basketball player. Super aggressive. And he told me that before, when he would play ball, his one goal was to destroy his opponent. He wanted to destroy them so badly that they would want to quit basketball. That was his goal. He wanted to just kill them, so afterwards they just want to quit basketball. That's the attitude that he would play ball with. Why? Where did that aggression come from? It's because of his hurt. When he was younger, you know, difficult childhood, you know, his dad was oftentimes out of the place. By the way, I got permission from him to share this. So I'm not just, you know, laying out his dirty laundry or something. You know, I got permission. You know, he had a difficult childhood. His father was often out of the picture. You know, I mean, he's there, but absent. And he says he was actually really short when he was young. So he kind of got bullied, and on the court, he was never that good. And so, you know, growing up, feeling a lot of the times not strong, feeling weak, feeling maybe unliked, unappreciated, unapproved. And so on the court, he would just want to destroy the other person and come with a lot of aggression because he wanted to feel strong, right? He needed to feel strong, and he didn't feel strong, so he would just come out strong and try to destroy people and just beat them down. And Pastor Ricky is reformed now, right? This is pre-Jesus. Now he's post-Jesus and he's different. But this aggression sometimes comes out, you know? When you play basketball with him, sometimes you're like, whoa, dude, chill out. You know, he knows. You know, we make fun of him all the time for it. But, you know, but I know that now, with knowing his identity in Christ, I know he tries very hard to be gentle. He might go back to his old, you know, habits, but then he'll quickly come around and say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, if I was too aggressive, I'm sorry if I came on too hard, you know, and he would try to be very gentle. And so now that he knows who he is in Jesus Christ, he knows that he is strong inside, and so he can practice gentleness. When I play basketball, I'm a nice guy. I play basketball in a nice way. I'm not aggressive. I'm not super out there. You know, my goal is not to destroy the person and to make them want to quit basketball. Why? Why am I nice in my demeanor? Not because I'm a gentle person, because I'm just not that good. Try as hard as I might, I will never be able to destroy anyone on the court. I mean, even if I come with that attitude, it just won't work. So, you know, when I play ball, I'm nice. I'm encouraging. I say, hey, that's okay. You missed the shot. That's fine. Let's just have fun. And it's okay to lose sometimes. You know, I mean, that's kind of my attitude. But it's not true gentleness. It just comes out of my limited ability. I'm not able to be aggressive. So I just say, let's just have fun. You know, let's just chill out. But Pastor Ricky, he can practice true gentleness, because he has the ability to destroy you if he wanted to, but he limits that. And he says, I'm going to be gentle. My gentleness is just out of my limited ability. So here's another quote. I thought it was very kind of a good description from Focus on the Family. This author, Gary Thomas, wrote this. When my daughter was young, she used to love to squeeze my hand as hard as she could, trying to make it hurt. She could squeeze with all her might, but it never hurt. She didn't need to be gentle because she lacked the power to cause me any pain. And then, just for fun, I'd give her hand a tight little squeeze until she yelped. It's the strong hand, not the weak hand, that must learn to be gentle. A great example. It makes it clear. Gentleness is disciplined strength. It comes out of your strength when you learn to control it and limit it for the sake of the other person, out of love, right? It's a manifestation of love. Today, we're going to look at three passages to help us understand, get a better picture of what biblical gentleness is. Three passages that give us a picture of gentleness. We're going to read all of them first. So I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to you as we first read the three passages, okay? Let's look at the screen. First one is Psalm 18, verse 35. I have two different versions there. You have also given me the shield of salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. Now look at the NIV version, the 1984 NIV version. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Next one is Matthew 12, 18 to 21. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, he will not cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. And last one, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though, as apostles, we might have asserted our authority. But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 18:35. Just have it up there for a little bit, please. It says, you give me your shield of victory, the NIV version, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. The Hebrew word for gentleness in that passage carries the idea of lowering yourself down, coming down. And I think it's a beautiful picture of what gentleness is. God, the strong one, stoops down to help the weak. God, the strong one, stoops down to help the weak. There are two types of talking to children. Two types, especially when you are scolding them or trying to teach them something. There's two ways of doing it. My son Joel, we put him into a summer sports camp over the past 2 weeks. And this sports camp, we only realized after we paid for everything and after it started, we realized, oh, the age gap actually they provide is quite wide. It's from 3 years old to 10 years old. So when we put him in and we went in there for the first class, we're like, oh, man, a lot of the kids were much older than him, 5, 6. And so he was one of the smallest, youngest ones. Also, the program was in Cantonese. We knew that, primarily Cantonese and supplemented with English. Then my son doesn't speak any Cantonese. He can say Ying Wan Yun, which is our apartment complex. That's about as much as he can say in Cantonese. And so just the whole 2 weeks as we, you know, we're there on Mondays and then our helper sends him out and she takes videos for us and we look at him and he's just doing his own thing almost the whole time. The class, you know, the coaches, of course, they're going to spend more time with the older kids because they understand and they speak Cantonese and they know what's going on. And Joel's just walking around and running around doing his own thing and kicking the ball around when it's basketball class. And one time I got off work early to see him and it was badminton class. And he didn't even have a badminton racket. You know, he was just off to the corner, just on the bench, kind of whatever. I don't know what he was doing. And when I went to him, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for my teacher to teach me. And so I don't know. But there's two videos I want to share with you. One of them, it was basketball class, clearly not paying attention, kicking the ball around. And the coach, you know what he did? He stooped down, you know, and he was talking to Joel. And I knew that Joel was not being obedient at the time. But when I saw the video, I thought, oh, they're so nice. You know, they're so gentle. They come down and they talk to him. And I felt good about it, even though I was sad that, I mean, who cares? He's 3 years old. You know, I mean, Cantonese. I know that he's not going to be able to fully participate, but it made me feel good to see him come down to his level and talk to him. But then in another video, rock climbing class, apparently he just was very difficult. And so this other coach is just standing up and just kind of pointing, and you can clearly see that she's a little upset and a little cold. And you know, when I saw that, and you could see Joel just kind of freezing a little bit, you know, a little bit timid, a little bit fearful, and I just felt angry. I was like, man, what's wrong with this coach, you know? How can you be so mean? Can't you see that he's just a kid? There's two types of talking to children, right? I learned it in youth ministry, too. And I've tried to practice it ever since. You know, when you talk to a kid, especially when you have to scold him, you could do it this way, like, what's wrong with you? And just kind of top down, yelling at the kid. Hurtful, you know? Not very effective either. Or you can come down to their level and you can get them to make eye contact with you. I can definitely tell you at my home with my son, if I do it this way, it's always more effective because he understands, he hears what I'm saying. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm here and I'm yelling and I'm raising my voice, he's just going to get more and more upset. And that's the image. You know, God stoops down in his gentleness and he makes us great. We're not great, but he stoops down to our level and he makes us great. Christianity is the only religion that gives a picture of a God that stooped down in gentleness. Now I get to talk about my second son, too. You know, I never talk about him, but I felt like I could talk about him today. You know, Owen, he just started walking, our second son. About a week ago, he started walking. And you know what's the best thing? Oh, one of the best things in the world is to come home And your son sees you, your child sees you, and he's learning to walk. So he just walks to you, and he's got this big smile on his face. Most of the times he goes to Amma, my wife. Sometimes he comes to me, and you know, he comes to my, you know, he comes to my knees, and he wants to be with daddy. He wants to see my face. He wants to be close to me, to be intimate with me. But in his own strength, he can't. I mean, he's just at this level. He can't climb up to me to see my face. And so what do I have to do? If I want him to be close to me and to see him face to face, I have to stoop down and I have to pick him up and hold him. And then we can be close. I can give him a kiss. That's what God did for us in the form of Jesus Christ. He stooped down to our level, because there was no way we could have gone up to his level to be intimate with him. And so he comes down and he picks us up. He makes us great. So I love that picture of gentleness, stooping down to our level and picking us up. The next passage, Matthew 12, 18 to 21. You know, Jesus himself described himself as being humble and gentle in heart. Not a lot of places where he self-describes who he is. But the words that he used when he was describing himself was, I am gentle and humble in heart. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Here, we're given a picture of his gentleness. Verse 19, he will not quarrel nor cry out. Nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. In the New Living Translation, this is what it says. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. I think that's such a beautiful picture of the gentleness of Jesus Christ. A battered reed, a broken reed, he's not just going to toss it aside. A flickering candle, a smoldering wick, he's not just going to be like, what the heck, put it out. There is a gentleness about Jesus Christ, even with the weakest reed, even with a battered, broken reed, he doesn't crush. The flickering candle he doesn't put out. And why is this such a powerful image? Why is that such a powerful image? It's because we've all had moments where we felt like a battered reed. We've all had moments where we felt like we were the weakest candle. We were a flickering candle. We were a battered reed. We were a broken reed. And we feel like we should just be crushed. You know, we feel like we should just be tossed aside, dismissed, discarded, but Jesus doesn't do that with us, right? Even when we feel like we are the weakest one out there, you know, we're just a useless mistake, a failure, barely surviving, but he doesn't crush us. He doesn't just say, man, what a loser, and just dismiss and discard. Instead, he comes to us with gentleness, right? He comes to us with care. And he treats us with respect and honor. You know, we do that. You know, we do that all the time. You know, we think, oh, this person, you know, what's wrong with that person? You know, just who cares what she says? Who cares what he thinks? You know, that guy, you know, he's a loser anyway. I mean, maybe we won't say it. Maybe you do say it. I don't know. But we think it. We think, who cares? You know, his opinion doesn't really matter. She's not very good at this anyway, so yeah, we could just dismiss her. She doesn't have to be on our team. You know, we do this all the time. We dismiss people, we discard people, but that's not the attitude of Jesus. It's easy. I think it's easy to be gentle with those who have power over us. It's easy to be gentle toward those in power, to our bosses, you know, to our clients that we're trying to do business with, or to that potential girlfriend or boyfriend. Of course, you're going to be gentle, right? As you talk to your boss, your potential client, or you're trying to pursue this someone, you're going to be gentle. You're going to, because we're trying to impress them. We're trying to impress them. So we're going to be polite, and we're going to practice restraint, and we're going to be gentle. You know, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, your spouse was so loving and caring and gentle when he or she was pursuing you? And how different is it now? As you look at your marriage, don't have to raise your hand. How many of us, you are so gentle and kind and polite and intentional and caring when you're pursuing that person. And then now that you're married, a few years under the belt, children, you're just like, kind of take that person for granted. Hopefully it hasn't, hopefully that's not the case. If that is, you should take Lamb with us, okay? We're doing Lamb. Why don't you sign up for Lamb? I think it'll be a great time. Most people, you know, people come into the office to talk to Pastor Sam. And I can tell you, I think, I mean, I'm making up the statistic, but I think 95% of the people that come to talk to P. Sam, they're gentle. Right? They're not going to barge into P. Sam's room and be like, blah, 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 what's wrong with you? And this sermon, this and that, you're whatever. They're not going to do that. Everyone's polite. Everyone's gentle because he's in power. He has authority over us, myself included, all the staff. When we talk to him, we're like, yes, sir. What do you want from us, sir? You know, we're gentle, we're polite. We practice restraint, even if we're unhappy. We're not going to just, you know, scream at him, yell at him, and be rude to him. Sometimes we are, but we try not to, and it's easy to do that with those in power. I think a true test of biblical gentleness is when you're interacting with those that don't have any power over you. You know, the battered reed, the flickering candle. And when you're interacting with them, how do you react? You know, how do you interact with them? Do you show restraint? And do you honor that person? Are you polite? And do you treat that person with gentleness? You know, people that are not significant to you. People that, those whom deep inside, we often consider them to be dismissible. I mean, that's the true test of, are you a gentle person? That's the true test of gentleness. How do you treat the ones that have no power over you? Do you treat them with the same restraint and politeness and gentleness? I want you to think, ask yourself this question. Just reflect. Who are the people that you are the least gentle toward? Just self-reflection. You don't have to discuss. Who are the people you are least gentle toward? And start with those people. You know, let's start with those people. Whoever it is, you know. Maybe for you, it's like people that report to you at work. You know, people that you're above them, clearly, positionally, they're below you, and they report to you, and they ask you questions, and how do you respond to them? In an email, in a text, how do you respond to them? Maybe it's your spouse. For some of you, you just take your spouse for granted, especially when your spouse has done something wrong. And you're clearly in a position of power right now. You know, your spouse has wronged you. She knows she has wronged you. He knows he has wronged you. And so you have power over that person. How do you react to that person? How do you respond to that person? Rick Warren, you know, he's a pastor of Saddleback Church, large church, author of Purpose Driven Life, Purpose Driven Church, and he was preaching on gentleness. I was listening to a few sermons to prepare for this, and he asked this question, or he had this statement. He said, just for, as an application for his church, he said this: when someone serves me, be understanding, not demanding. When someone serves me, be understanding, not demanding. And he was referring to people like waitresses. People that, you know, report to them, their assistants in their workplaces. And I was just thinking in my own example, maybe MTR assistants, MTR staff members. People that are in fast food, you know, that serve you at McDonald's or whatever. Or in parking shop and welcome, the people that check you out And sometimes they're new, and they don't know what they're doing, and they might be slow, or they might be frustrating to you in some ways. How do you react to them? In fact, Pastor Rick gave an example. He was at McDonald's one day, and clearly the lady that was doing it, there was a young girl, and she was new, inexperienced, having a difficult time, flustered, and all these people were just mean to her. You know, they're kind of like rude and just, you know, can't believe that she's taking such a long time. And you could tell, like, she was really flustered and having a hard time. And when it came to his turn, he was gentle with her. You know, he just said, hey, don't worry about it. You know, it's not a big deal. All these people that are being rude to you, they'll get their food and they'll move on. It's not a big deal. You'll learn. You'll figure it out. It's okay. And she looks at him. And you know what she says? She says, aren't you the guy at Saddleback Church? You know, and Pastor Rick says, man, I was so glad I was gentle toward her and not rude, right? Because she knew he was a pastor at Saddleback Church. But he asked the question to his church, and I want to ask you church a question, our church. How many people know that you're a Christian? And they're looking at your behavior, you know? They're looking at how you live your life. And are we, you know, what kind of message are we sending to them? The last verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 5 through 8. If you look at the verse, it's kind of long, but I just want you to look at the middle part. It says, as apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority, but we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Man, that's another beautiful picture of gentleness. Maybe the greatest picture of gentleness is found here, as a nursing mother tenderly caring for her children. Last night, I was sleeping next to Owen. So, you know, we have a little crib, like a cot, that we actually put on our bed. So he's in there, so he can't come out. He can't roll off. And I'm next to him. And Owen's been sick a little bit. So he's been coughing a lot. And so last night, I'm tired. I'm in bed. I'm thinking about the mess. I'm thinking about gentleness. And he keeps waking up coughing. At first, I'm like, oh, poor Owen. I hope he feels better. But he keeps waking up coughing. Crying and eventually I'm thinking I need to be gentle because I'm preaching on gentleness, but I'm getting angry and then I'm thinking, oh man, if Mon was here, she would be so gentle toward him. I'm hearing him cough, and part of me is like, I'm concerned. Part of me is thinking, I just wish he would stop coughing. But I know if Mon was here, I know that she would be so gentle toward him and just caring for him, because I've seen that. And that's the nursing mother. For me, I'm just like, okay, that's enough coughing, Owen. You know, let's just stop right now. And eventually, I let out a frustrated sigh. I was like, stop it. Not gentle, you know, but as a nursing mother, tenderly caring for her children, that's a great picture of gentleness. And that was Paul. Saying, I could have asserted my authority to you, but I didn't. I was like a gentle mother. And that's gentleness. Paul is an amazing case study for transformation that can happen in a person's heart when they encounter Jesus Christ. Right? And he's changed radically in so many different ways. But one of the ways is his gentleness. One of the ways is his character, his gentleness. Because if you look at Paul's life, or Saul of Tarsus, you know, before he encounters Jesus Christ, he could not have been a gentle person. Like in his personality, in his natural demeanor, he could not have been a gentle. Because you look at his life, and he was a fiery tyrant of a person, right? He is there when Stephen is executed, and apparently a man of authority, looking at it with approval, not affected by it, is looking at it with approval, and people are laying their coats before him, which is a sign that people respected him. And he was kind of in a position of authority, and he's approving of what's going on. And he would go to places, right? He would go to places actively seeking out people that follow Jesus Christ and putting them into prison so that they could be killed, slaughtered, you know, murderous threats. Right, going out and people, and then we read on when he was converted, people are so scared of this guy that they don't believe it. Right, they're like, Saul is a Christian now? No way. He must be here to spy on us. Right, people are just, they don't want to associate with him because they're so scared of who he was. So, I mean, I don't think he was a gentle, kind person by nature. But we see Paul again and again and again emphasizing the importance of gentleness. Pastor Alistair Begg is another really good preacher, actually, if you want to listen to some messages online. Alistair Begg, he suggests that maybe because in his natural temperament, he was so opposite of gentleness, right? You just look at what he used to do. If he had a gentle temperament, I don't think he would have been able to accomplish what he accomplished as a threat to the Christians. But he was, because in his natural temperament, he's so opposed to gentleness, he repeatedly emphasizes the importance of gentleness, right? Because he was so opposed to it, now that he has experienced the radical gentleness of Jesus Christ toward him, he realizes, man, this is such an important Christian virtue. Such an important virtue for us to imitate from Christ. It's a Christ-like virtue. So it's so prominent in his heart. I have a bunch of verses that I want to show you. Well, it's a little small. Maybe we could do it into two slides next time. But I'll just read it to you. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Philippians 4:4-5. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Gentleness is so important to him. 2 Timothy 2:24-25. The Lord's bondservant, he's teaching Timothy as a pastor, this is what you should do. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Titus 3:1-2. Talking about all the Christians. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Yeah, it's amazing to see Paul, this fiery, you know, tyrant of a person, breathing murderous threats to Christians and approving of, you know, executions and stonings, and people were so afraid of him. He encounters Christ, and the gentleness of Jesus Christ toward him transforms him to a point where he says to his followers, hey, I didn't come to you asserting my authority. I came as a nursing mother, tenderly caring for her children. And that was a virtue, a Christ-like virtue that he held on to so preciously. I want to end with this one quote by a Reformed pastor in the 1800s, George Bethune. He says this, "Perhaps no grace is less prayed for or less cultivated than gentleness. Indeed, it is considered rather as belonging to natural disposition or external manner than as a Christian virtue. And seldom do we reflect that not to be gentle is sin." To not be gentle is living in disobedience to the Word of God. And it's not just a personality thing. It's not just, oh, some people are naturally gentle. You know, people might look at me and say, well, Pastor Nate is naturally, you know, he has a gentle demeanor, a gentle personality. And you know what? It's true. I, as just in my disposition, I tend to be more gentle. But I can tell you, guarantee, I can tell you that for me, also, it's a choice. I have to choose to be gentle. Even with my natural disposition, I can very easily dismiss people, discard people, and lash out. And I've been guilty of it many, many, many times. And I know I have to trust God and go to God and say, Lord, you know, I know you're gentle toward me, and I need to choose to be gentle. And it doesn't matter what natural disposition you have, it's a command from God for us to practice gentleness. And so, yeah. So today I just want to pray. I just want us to close our eyes now and let's just go before the Holy Spirit. If I can ask the worship team to come up. You know, gentleness, as with the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we practice gentleness because Christ has treated us with gentleness. You know, we extend gentleness to others because God has extended gentleness toward us. You know, and we have communion today. We'll be taking communion in a little bit. And I think it's an opportunity for us to reflect on the gentleness of God. You know, the Psalm 18 passage, He stooped down to make us great. And that's what he did. God stooped down out of love from his place of greatness, from his place of strength, from his place of glory. He stooped down to make us great. We're not great on our own. We don't have glory. You know, we have sin. We have brokenness. We have hurt and wickedness. But God stooped down and he picked us up and he gave us his love and a new identity. And so now we are great. You know, now we are great in him. We're forgiven. We have intimacy with him. In our weakest moments, he doesn't dismiss us. When we are a broken reed and a flickering candle, maybe even in our faithfulness toward God, we're just a broken reed and a flickering candle. We don't even know if we can hold on. And God doesn't come and just dismiss and discard and say, "I just throw that person away." You know, he treats us with honor and politeness and restraint. And he comes in gentleness. So let's meditate on that. If Chris can just, maybe just sing a song. Let's spend a little bit of time just reflecting on the gentleness of God, and then we'll take communion together.
Everything I
Let's get ready for communion. If I can ask the ushers, communion and ushers, to prepare. I just want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 30. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, took the cup, and he told his followers to do this in remembrance of him. And Paul reminds us that we must come and examine ourselves and come in humility before the table. And so I just want to ask you at this time to come in humility. It is our church's practice that everyone is welcome to take communion with us. But just come with a humble attitude before God and say, "God, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, the body and the blood broken and shed for me." And let's take a moment just to repent and to examine our hearts, to humble ourselves before him, to say thank you to him. And I believe we can all take this together. So the ushers will give you the wafer and the cup. Just hold it in your hand. We'll worship together, and then we'll take this together.
Take my heart, lay it down at the feet.
Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for your gentleness toward us. Thank you that you stoop down. You stoop down to our level, and you spoke to us, and you revealed yourself to us, God. You minister to us, and even right now, God, you are here, and you're stooping to our level, and you come to us where we are, and you minister to us, God. Thank you for your gentle spirit. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Yes, God. Let's take this together. This is Christ's body broken for you. The blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Thank you. Let's stand. I just want us to spend some time with Jesus. All of the 9 aspects of the fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The perfect model for this is Jesus Christ. And I think just by spending time with Him, we'll begin to reflect his character more in our lives. And I just keep thinking of Paul, you know, the transformation that he experienced as he understood and experienced more and more the kindness and the gentleness of God, the gentleness of Jesus toward him. And you see, he's so transformed by that, a completely new man. And so I just want to encourage us, as Chris sings this song, you can sing along, but if you want, just spend some time with Jesus and meditate on his gentleness towards you, and let that transform you, and let that change you, let that encourage you, so that we can extend gentleness to others too. So let's sing, or just spend some time with God in this time.
We worship you. worship. I will worship you, God, you, Lord, only you, God. And I will bow down before you, God, only you, Lord. I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for your gentleness toward us. And I pray that we would be transformed as Paul was transformed into a person of gentleness. And help us to put on this Christian virtue, God. And we can't just strive for it to happen. So pray for your transformation. We surrender our lack of gentleness to you and ask that you would transform us from the inside out. Thank you, God. Let me just bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you. If you want to come for prayer, there's a well team here that wants to pray for you. And have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.